Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Production. We are not requiring anything that interferes with an ongoing investigation. The special counsel already concluded his investigation by choosing not to charge President Biden because he is an, quote, elderly man with a poor memory, end quote. This morning, the Department of Justice informed the committee that the president has asserted executive privilege over the audio recordings of the president's interview with special counsel Herr. President Biden's decision to withhold the audio recording from Congress is alarming. The committee has already obtained the transcript of the interview. President Biden must have something to hide because it does not make sense that he would suppress the audio if the transcript was accurate.
So you have heard pieces of this House Oversight Committee hearing in the news last week, because this is the eyelashes, butch body, Marjorie Taylor Greene dust up with several members that she's not intelligent enough to debate me. Okay, there. But I went back and watched, the first hour and a half, something like that, 2 hours. I got bored later on in the meeting. But the basic gist of the reason they were having this meeting is because, as James Comer, the chair of the House Oversight Committee, explained, the transcript of the five-hour interview with Joe Biden is public. What they have not made public is the actual video of the interaction. And the video presumably would be very embarrassing for Joe Biden and would make fantastic campaign material in the 2024 election season, which is why the Republicans want it and why the Democrats do not want it released, and why he's exerted executive privilege, saying, we gave you the transcript. There's no legally plausible reason that you would need to have the actual video. And this is why they had the hearing.
There is no substitute, as the many lawyers on this committee will tell you, for a recording of an actual conversation, not a summary, not a report, not a transcript.
So my take, just before we get into the entertaining portions of this particular meeting, is, I think this is political. I have no reason to believe that there's anything inaccurate about the transcript, but wouldn't we all like to see the embarrassing elderly man who can't be put in front of a jury because they'll not convict him for his memory and gaffes, you know, over the privileged documents and classified documents that he did not take good care of? That would be entertaining. I mean, I don't know that it'd be entertaining for 5 hours, but it would be, it'd make him look bad in an election year, which, again, is clearly the primary reason why the Republicans want it. And is also clearly the primary reason why the Democrats are opposed and why the White House has exerted privilege. So what should be done? Well, again, I tend to be kind of a transparency-oriented person, so it ought to be released. But I don't at all dispute what the Democrats are saying, that this is not motivated by some clearer picture of justice. This is motivated by politics. They want the clips. They want to make the ads. Obviously, Jamie Raskin, ranking Democrat on the committee. And by the way, this helps you get a sense of how the tone was set for this whole discussion. And remember, this is the same day that they had canceled this particular oversight meeting hearing because earlier in the committee hearing, because earlier in the day, several people had gone to New York City in solidarity with President Trump to stand outside the courtroom in a blue suit and a red tie and a white shirt, looking like Trump, and then saying the things he would want to say but can't say because of the gag order. So that stunt had already been going. I mean, that very reasonable behavior by leadership in the House had been going on earlier in the day, just so for context, because that's going to come up.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this special nighttime episode, We resume the madcap comedy mystery series called Comer's High Crimes and Misadventures, The Hilarious Quest to Impeach a President Who Has Done Nothing Wrong, an avowedly low-budget but multi-million-dollar taxpayer-funded production, which most Americans assumed had ended 2 months ago and had completely forgotten about. But tonight, with the cast and crew now fresh back from a surprise
trip to New York City. You mean like
the
January 6th committee?
Stop it.
I'd like my time restored to me, Mr. Chairman.
Order, order. Chair recognizes ranking member.
Okay.
So that was Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, oh, you mean like the charade that was the January 6th ongoing hearings? And then you had Congressman Crockett, who's going to become a focal point of this conversation here shortly. Back to Jamie Raskin.
Colleagues properly demonstrated for all of history their fierce devotion to this clearly reformed, devout, and pious Florida spiritual leader who many supporters are now calling the Messiah from Mar-a-Lago. Of course, in the meantime, Chairman Jordan in the House Judiciary Committee.
Will the gentleman yield?
Preempted. No, I'm in the middle
sir,
of my
I appreciate that photo. It's a good photo.
I would like a copy of that.
Would you like a signed one, Raskin?
Yes, I
would. Could you get your members in order, Mr. Chairman?
It's a great photo.
Order,
I want a copy
order,
of it.
Order.
Mr. Chairman.
In the meantime.
So I know at least one of those voices was Lauren Boebert, who was in the photo that was taken of her and Matt Gaetz and a couple of other members of Congress in the courtroom when they had traveled to New York City. And that's why they were making the joke about, hey, that's a great photo. Can we have a copy of that? You want a signed copy of that? Because I'll sign it for you. Again, grasping the tone of the meeting to begin with, while Jamie Raskin is in the middle of his semi-satirical stand-up critique of the Republicans. This, again, is a congressional hearing. Just in case you'd forgotten, this is a congressional hearing.
All can learn what the president was asked and see how he answered each and every question. But the chairman insists that's not enough. He and the rest of America are clearly able to read the interview, but he wants to be able to hear the interview. The book is not sufficient. He wants the audio book.
So the book is not enough. He is... I'm sorry, I'm getting a whole bunch of texts in, people saying that you cannot hear the play of the audio from the Congress, and I'm really not sure why, because it sounds perfect inside here, so, very frustrating, because it's very, very good audio. I'll tell you that, it's very good audio. Let me keep trying, and if you keep not being able to hear it, that's kind of frustrating. So let me keep going, and we'll see what we get. Thank you for helping us problem solve a little bit of our technical problems here on the air.
I know that pleases the gentlelady from Georgia, because he issued...
I just want to hear Joe Biden. Why can't the American people hear him?
Order, Mr. Order. Chairman. Get her under control.
President Trump issued an edict. No, I am glad... I am glad that the gentlelady from Georgia is learning something tonight, okay?
Again, with the satire, and she just wants to hear Joe, which I think it sounds like a plausible argument, right? I just want to be able to hear him in his own voice. Again, I think because of politics, because we can use these clips and make it very embarrassing for the president.
We have the interview transcript. We have the president's words. There's no basis for this outlandish contempt proceeding, which only further disgraces our committee along with judiciary. Accordingly, Mr. Chairman, and since your members seem to be in such a hurry to be done with this, I move to immediately adjourn these proceedings.
Seconded.
So in your opening statement, you move to adjourn.
I'm moving to adjourn these proceedings.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No!
The noes have it. Motion fails. Now, do any other members wish to be heard?
Recorded vote.
So they're thinking, well, we'll just end this whole thing, right? We will completely end the hearing. And then here's where, well, let's just say it got interesting.
Any other members seek recognition?
Mr.
Chair
Chairman.
Recognizes Ms. Green.
I'd like to know if any of the Democrats on this committee are employing Judge Mershon's daughter.
Please tell me what that has to do with Merrick Garland.
Is she a porn star? Mm-hmm.
Oh, Goldman. That's right. He's advising. Okay.
He's advising who? What? Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you the one talking about. I guess
I think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on. Listen. Order,
Mr. Chairman.
That's beneath even you.
Order of your committee.
Order,
please. There's a point of order.
So now we're on to the fake eyelashes of Jasmine Crockett. And that's when everything went completely sideways.
I do have a point of order, and I would like to move to take down Ms. Green's words. That is absolutely unacceptable. How dare you attack the physical appearance of another person?
Are your feelings hurt?
Her words down.
Aww.
Oh, girl, baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play.
Baby girl?
We are going to move, and we're going to take your words down.
I second that motion.
So who will have to pay us? Okay. All right. We're suspending.
Oh, no, baby girl, don't even play. You have wandered into the AOC zone. And so he put everything on pause. And then we have some off-mic comments.
Not a real apology. Here's
what
we're not going
to do. Publicly.
We're not going to do a smarmy apology. She has to actually apologize. And that needs to be up to Ms. Crockett as well.
Sure.
I found the connection problem. Here we go. Back to, for those of you who didn't hear, I don't know why. It was we could hear it just fine here in the studio, but for some reason it wasn't going over there, but I did find a loose connection. So I'm so sorry for those of you who have been eagerly wanting to hear these very, very dramatic clips from the congressional hearing. I'll go back and play you the good one. Can I say this? The rest was all tone setter. This is where it really matters, okay? This is, on for those of you who are listening on the app, I know it was coming through, okay. I'm so sorry. It's my fault. There was just one connection that was a little not quite tight here on this side. Anyway, this is Marjorie Taylor Greene interrupting the drama.
Any other members seek recognition?
Mr.
Chair recognizes Ms. Green.
I'd like to know if any of the Democrats on this committee are employing Judge Mershon's daughter. No.
Please tell me what that has to do with Merrick Garland.
Is she a porn star?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Goldman. That's right. He's advising. Okay.
He's advising who? What? Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you the one talking about.
I think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on. Order,
Mr. Chairman.
That's beneath even you.
Order of your committee.
Order,
please. There's a point of order.
That's beneath even you, Ms. Green. So. You don't even know what you're talking about. Nepotism, porn stars, and your fake eyelashes are getting in the way of what you're reading. And as I mentioned, this is where everything went completely sideways. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I do have a point of order, and I would like to move to take down Ms. Green's words. That is absolutely unacceptable. How dare you attack the physical appearance of another person?
Are your feelings hurt?
Her words down.
Aww.
Oh, girl, baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play.
Baby girl?
We are going to move, and we're going to take your words down.
I second that motion.
So who will have to pay us? Okay. All right. We're suspending.
So we go into pause mode, and then off mic. Thank goodness the mics were still rolling.
And if it's not a real apology, here's what we're not going
to do. Publicly.
We're not going to do a smarmy apology. She has to actually apologize. And that needs to be up to Ms. Crockett as well.
Sure.
It's got to be a real apology, not a fake apology, no fake eyelash apology.
It needs to be sincere.
This is crazy.
It's crazy, yes.
Let's do it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
That is Jasmine Crockett responding to Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, you want to go? Let's go. Come on, let's go. Outside. You want to cash me outside?
Because her ego's bruised.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's all it is.
She's not used to people talking back to her.
She doesn't want to say sorry to nobody for nothing. She's going to learn.
She doesn't want to say I'm sorry to nobody for nothing. She's going to learn. Is it Congress or is it high school? That should be our new, you know, is it real or is it fake? Is it Congress or is it high school? Is it the real eyelash or is it fake eyelashes? Anyway, so this kept going. And by the way, I have 32 clips. We're at 14, just so you know. This Milton's got nothing on Congress anymore.
He will reconvene. Miss Green has 4 minutes and 21 seconds. There's a motion. Ms. Green, do you wish to strike your words? You agree to strike your words?
So she agreed.
Okay. Ms. Green agrees to strike her words.
I believe she needs to apologize. No.
Perry, okay, hold on. Then after Mr. Perry's going to be recognized, then Ms. Green.
I'm not apologizing.
Well,
seconds.
Then
okay,
you're reserve not the right to your words.
I am not apologizing.
Now let's go. Come on, guys.
Why don't you debate me?
Mr. Chairman. The minority.
It's pretty self-evident.
Chair recognizes. You're not.
Yeah, you're not.
Out of order.
You don't have enough intelligence.
Your chair recognizes Mr. Perry.
Okay, move to strike the.
I
move
to strike
the lady's words.
I
move to strike the lady's
well.
Words again.
That's two requests to strike. That's two requests to strike.
Oh, they cannot take the words.
There's another motion to strike her words again. Please
right, okay,
get your members under
here's
control.
Here's the correct apology, Ms. Green. Do you ask unanimous do you agree to unanimous consent to strike your words?
I repeat again for the second time. Yes, I'll strike right. my words, that, but I'm not right. apologizing.
Without objection. Without
not
objection.
Apologizing.
I reserve the right to object.
No.
Chairman, I
reserve
the right to object.
Mr. Perry.
I reserve the right to object.
So, oh my God. So I'll strike the words because she should not have made the comment about the eyelashes. That's what they call personalities is the rule. You can't attack somebody's appearance or their personality. You're supposed to keep it on the issues. And she says, I'll strike him, that's fine, but I won't apologize.
And I would ask Ms. Green if she would just make the apology. It's not that complicated. We don't want to get into face-to-face insults.
You will never get an apology out of me.
I object, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Raskins objects.
Then they get into a whole issue about what exact words were said, and they're trying to ask the reporter, you know, what words were said. Nobody's quite sure, so the question is, so maybe we should get the tape instead of the transcript. See the connection?
Mr. Chairman.
We could subpoena the audio tape, Mr. Chairman.
Because that's the premise of the whole hearing, is to get the video instead of the transcript.
Release the audio.
Oh, my God. And then, and we're going to have to quit because of just time constraints, but off mic, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Are they or are they not fake eyelashes?
What's the facts issue here?
First,
and I don't know who she's talking to, but the dude is like, I'm not really versed in that kind of stuff to say. So as I sometimes mention, this is only act one of a multi-act play. We are on clip 19 of 32. And what remains is still even better than what has already been played. 7 o'clock. We'll come back to the 7 o'clock.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
529 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. By the way, I just want to say thank you to all the people, like numerous people who were texting in about the audio problems. If that ever happens, please text again because that super helped us figure out a problem we were having and fix it. Man, I'd really appreciate it. I would say that David's got... Do you have a headline for us you can get in 20 seconds?
Yeah, real quick. He's authorities so in Iowa are still working to determine how many people were killed after a tornado hit the small town of Greenfield yesterday. But they say numerous fatalities have been confirmed so far, and that's just a small town southwest of Des Moines.
Very good, David. Thank you so much for the update. Hey, if you've got any kind of a plumbing need, Barberry Plumbing, they'll come out and take care of you. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. Barberry Plumbing, 477-8782.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Yeah, that siren in Red Oak, Iowa. Deadly tornadoes ripped through the Hawkeye State.
It got really, really loud.
Greenfield, Iowa resident Rogue Paxton. Iowa State Police confirmed multiple people killed and several others injured. Former President Trump's hush money trial takes a long break between the end of testimony and the closing arguments next Tuesday.
No evidence and there's no crime. There's no crime. Everybody says there's no crime. Where's the crime?
President Biden wipes out $7.7 billion in student loan debt for about 160,000 people in the latest handout. Norway, Ireland, and Spain say they're recognizing a Palestinian state. Israel recalls its ambassadors from Ireland and Norway. The Irish prime minister calling it an historic and important day for Palestine. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. It is 68 degrees right now, mostly clear skies. Pensacola man will face charges for a deadly drive-by shooting that happened at the Forest Creek Apartments last year. According to Channel 3, Javion Johnson was arrested on Tuesday morning on a homicide charge as well as three drug charges in a separate case. He's currently being held without bond at the Escambia Jail. Investigators say a man was killed when gunshots were fired into an apartment. This was June 3rd of last year. A cantonment man being sentenced over the summer for a fatal shooting of a local activist 2 years ago.
The state attorney's office says Charles Moore III was found guilty of second-degree murder in the death of Darrell Palmer. Back on May 23rd of 2022, the two men were engaged in an argument on social media, and that led to a confrontation at a Circle K gas station. According to prosecutors, after about 5 minutes of arguing, Moore pulled a gun from his waistband and shot Palmer four times in the torso. Palmer was involved in many activism projects over the years, perhaps most notably a Black Lives Matter mural that was painted on A Street in the aftermath of George Floyd's death. Moore faces up to life in prison when he's sentenced on July 11th. Joe Ford, News Radio, Pensacola.
Thank you very much, Joe. Well, it is expected to be yet another record-breaking year at the Pensacola International Airport, if the start to this week is any indication. Mayor D.C. Reeves says this past Sunday was the highest number of daily passengers so far for the year, with around 11,600. It's a record that lasted for one day, as then more than 12,000 passed through Monday. Reeves says the average wait time getting through security was 6.5 minutes.
They just notified us on Monday that they've got seven new officers, TSA officers, agents trained that are not part of that force that came in, but actually we're ramping up staffing as a whole.
And eight agents from the TSA's National Deployment Force are currently in town helping with staffing until those new agents are able to be fully trained. Well, we are getting an update on the extra noise violation enforcement happening downtown. Mayor Reeves says the FSB-funded enforcement has netted 45 citations so far. Officers have written 25 exhaust violations, 6 loud music violations, as well as citations for stunt driving and 4 arrests, for including one person that had a felony warrant. Reeves called it a growing pains for a fast-growing downtown. It is 534 News Radio Pensacola. Right now we do have 68 degrees in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, and 67 in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
Cole Murray with Your Money Now. United States Steel Corporation has accused rival Cleveland-Cliffs of spreading false rumors as a relentless effort to derail Nippon Steel's roughly $15 billion takeover of the domestic company. U.S. Steel says the rumors have been an attempt to influence the market into believing it is working to unwind the transaction. Nippon leaders are set to meet with local representatives in Pittsburgh this week. OpenAI has announced it will halt the ChatGPT voice called Sky that actress Scarlett Johansson says sounds eerily similar to her own. The tech giant said it wanted to address the public's concerns. Meanwhile, Johansson said OpenAI reluctantly agreed to discontinue the Sky voice after she hired lawyers who wrote Altman letters asking about the process the company used to formulate the voice. Futures are slightly lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 66 and the S&P 500 up 13. That's your money now.
This ad furnished by Nesma Tuck.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news. Yesterday, had a chance to talk to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, as we typically do on a Tuesday. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. Some weeks we don't have an awful lot of material, and then other weeks we have, like we had last week, which is an enormous amount of incidents, unfortunately. Beginning with Tuesday, right after you and I got done talking, we found out that there had been a three people shot over on Diego Circle off of Massachusetts Ave that you guys think is maybe retaliatory for the other incidents?
Yeah, we're obviously investigating it. We do believe it is retaliatory from the previous, the triple homicide that we had a couple weeks ago.
That was the one outside the party where the
two
guys snuck
through birthday party,
the yard. And okay.
Yeah, so we think this is, because the people that we're hearing may be involved in the first one, we're also involved in as victims of the second one. So we're looking at that. We talked about this whenever we first announced the triple homicide, was that we were concerned about retaliation because we weren't getting some good information from witnesses and some family members and such, and they're not really being forthcoming with us, so we were concerned that they were going to try to take matters into their own hands, and we were encouraging them not to do that, to let us know and to put people in jail so people can stop hurting each other.
And you guys have a car, but no suspects in this case. Is that right?
We were looking for a car. We did find the car. We do have the car in our possession. It was
a drive-by shooting in Diego Circle.
Yes.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, they pulled into it's a one-way street.
Yeah, it's just a little cul-de-sac,
L-shaped
basically. Yeah,
thing. And they pulled up, opened the door, and started shooting at some specific people.
Okay.
And they get in the car, and then they leave. So we did have a vehicle description, which we actually put out to the public, and then we did collect that car, and now we're still investigating it. We do have some leads, and we're asking if anyone has more information, please let us know.
Okay. I know there was a lot of conversation about, you know, that's close to the school, and that's, you know, Aris Drive is over there, and, you know, and that's pretty close to what used to be Truman Arms is now, you know, Oakfield Terrace? Is that the name of it? No.
Yes.
That's okay.
Rosewood Terrace.
Rosewood. No. Anyway.
Rosewood
but,
Terrace.
What I thought was, this is notoriously an area. I mean, this is a really, the county's coming in there and bulldozed houses to stop the problems, right? This is a historically really bad, and so in some ways it's almost like, well, yeah, this is bad, but this is less than there had been before, right? I mean.
Well, the Aris Boulevard dead ends.
Yeah.
And then there's a small wooded area that separates that from what used to be Truman Arms. And if you recall, 20, 30 years ago, there was a big wall and some barbed wire fence on top of it because they were having so much trouble in what was then called Truman Arms. Again, I was at Pensacola Police Department at the time. So, yeah, this has been a challenge for law enforcement for decades.
I mean, my wife and I would go bicycling all the time, okay? And, you know, I remember, knowing enough not to bicycle in Diego Circle, not knowing enough to not bicycle on Aris Boulevard, but when we got back in there, it was because, you know, you bike enough places, you know where you shouldn't be. We realized pretty quickly we shouldn't have been there. I mean, that's just, it's a rough area. I mean, bad stuff happens, which is sad for the residents there who are good people and the kids who grew up there. But also people are, I don't know, kind of the reaction to this is, oh my God, buy a school.
Well, I can tell you, we have spent a lot of time in Aris Boulevard, Diego Circle,
right.
A lot of our attentions.
Right.
Over the last couple of years since I've been the sheriff and certainly in the years prior. We spend a lot of time there. Proactive enforcement. We do a lot of, you know, we work with Delirium Pogue, a friend of mine who has a church right down the street, and we have had many meetings with them about what to do and how we can help with,
yeah,
you know, with the kids and just with the community at large. And I think that we're making some progress, but again, this retaliatory shooting, people coming from other neighborhoods to that neighborhood, it's difficult for us to pinpoint exactly when that's going to take place.
Is that? That's not ShotSpotter area, is it?
No.
Okay. But you do have cameras, I assume. Or
there may or may not be cameras.
Okay, there's lots of places that have cameras, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You also, in that vicinity, you had a 16-year-old, a teenager, got stabbed on Massachusetts, right? And that sort of in that area also?
Yeah, we got a call on Massachusetts Avenue, which is a big road, obviously. But,
right.
And I don't know the exact address of where he was stabbed, but he got into a fight with a large group of people one or two of those individuals end up stabbing him. It's not life-threatening. We're still working on gathering who all was there because, again, as we have large groups of people, or it's sometimes difficult or it's challenging for us to determine exactly which one pulled the knife and which one did the cutting. So,
but not related.
We're investigating.
Not you don't think.
No. This seems like a spontaneous. I can't say it was a party, but certainly a gathering.
Okay.
And ended up the result was an argument and a stabbing.
In other news, but still bad news, you had yesterday or the day before, you had an elderly couple that apparently it's a murder-suicide. A family member left the home and came back and found him. Is this right?
Yeah, we don't usually talk about suicides, but right. Murder-suicides obviously get the attention of the community.
And it's just kind of a noteworthy, sad case, right?
Well, yeah. The report, as I understand it, was that there was an elderly couple, and then their daughter was there to take care of them. The daughter
like
went
80,
to the store.
Like elderly.
Yeah, they were in the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah. And at least one was in poor health. And they the daughter left and came back, and there was a note on the garage door said, call the police, don't go inside. Unfortunately, when we go inside, we see that it looks like the male had shot his wife and then turned the gun on himself. So it's just a terribly tragic situation all around.
And you and I, you know, obviously for the daughter, unbelievable trauma. And then we talk many times about the psychological challenges for your folks and for, you know, the medical examiner and for EM, and just what they see, what they encounter, you know, for you and me talking about it on the radio, it's for them, it's direct visual horror, right?
Well, to me, it's almost impossible to not put yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
You know, do you have elderly parents or elderly grandparents? Do you, or, you know, and it's difficult to just put that out of your mind and go very next call to, you know, and be
reset to
courteous
normal.
And, you know, hey, how are you doing? How can we help? And that's why credit really goes to the men and women in law enforcement that are able to do that. And that's why we have to continue to support them as much as we can.
I don't know how they don't carry baggage across. I mean, it's almost like, you know, when these stories happen and they have carried trauma with them or baggage with them, it's almost surprising that doesn't happen more often, because it's so easy to understand how that would influence your day, your life, your everything you react to in the future. Other news, you had a very concerning incident of a person who stole a car, but that was only the beginning of the story.
Yeah, a dude decides to steal a car from a relative of his who reported it. So he's driving this Cadillac Escalade that he had stolen, and I guess he's driving a little bit crazy, so he ends up crashing into the storage building of the Haji Shrine. And when he does that, he tears up the tire on the car that he stole. They weren't even supposed to be in. So he decides he's going to get the tire fixed because he needs the tire fixed. So he drives down 9 Mile Road, and he finds a tire store, pulls in a tire store to get the tire fixed, and looks over and sees a Jeep and decides, I think I'll steal that Jeep instead. So
he
steals the Jeep. Yeah, well, one's got four good tires and one's got three good
tires. Well, at least the stolen car, the owner's got to be happy it was already at the tire store.
It was perhaps. anyway, so he gets
in
the Jeep.
So we're on vehicle number two. Okay.
Yeah, he steals a Jeep. And then he's taken off, and we get the call, obviously, and our deputies are in the area, and we find it. We see the Jeep, and he decides he's going to run from us, but we do a pit maneuver on him, end up stopping him really quick. He refuses to get out, so we pull him out of the car with the help of some citizens. People pitched in.
Good for them.
This is a great community. And so we cuff him and put him in jail, and so he's charged with all of those things. Stealing cars left and right, and running from the cops and resisting cops and, you know, all that bad stuff.
I have to ask, drugs?
We didn't find any drugs in her.
No. That's actually discouraging, I think, in a way, because at least then you could blame it on that. All right. And then you had what was maybe the more entertaining side of the news, but maybe not. I don't know. You went to serve a warrant, and you found a guy doing laundry.
So, yeah. You know, growing up, you always think hide and seek. There's a good spot here. You always look at the washer and the dryer and thinking, should I? And we always, in my mind, no, I'm not going to climb into that. However, that piece of information didn't really mean everyone, because some people still think
not everybody
idea.
Got that note
right. So, guy's been wanted. Let's see here. His name is David. You know, David Jackson. He had a warrant for shooting into an occupied dwelling from March, and we get a tip that he's at this particular house, so we go there and can't find him, and we end up, after searching the rest of the house in the laundry room, lo and behold, they check the dryer, and they open up the dryer, and he's... Now, here's the thing. What is he going to do now? He's basically...
Hard to flee from there.
In fact, our deputy took a picture of him.
Of course.
For evidence or purposes, obviously. And so we got it. It's like he can't just jump out. You can't go out the back of the dryer.
Right.
So you got to come back out.
How did a grown man fit into a dryer?
You know, I'm not sure how tall he was, but if you look at the pictures that we posted on social media, that he looks like he's sort of too big to fit in a dryer.
Yeah.
And I guess people that have claustrophobia now are thinking, no way.
Right.
There's no way. You know, a lot of comments on our social media, should have turned it on and tumble dryer and all that kind of stuff.
Fluff and fold arrest.
Anyways, but we had a little bit of... a little bit of fun with the story ourselves, but
or maybe he knew he was going to jail and he was doing a little adversity conditioning to get used to the small space.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, hey, just a quick question, because I did not watch the Board of County Commissioners meeting yesterday, so I don't even know if we approved this or not. But they were looking at putting in some new rules regarding anchoring and mooring of boats anywhere in proximity to piers and paddle launches and things like that. I know my wife and I were just paddleboarding out on Pensacola Beach and Little Sabine the other day, and, you know, where there's a little launch over there on the west side of the road, there were two boats were, like, within 40 feet. They would have been in violation. It's like a $500 fine or something. What I noted in the copy was, in the backup, was that you guys are tasked with enforcement, between you and code enforcement, but you guys... Did the county consult with you on enforceability for any of this stuff? Did they ask? Because to me, that's, you know, they can pass the law. They don't have to consult, but I would think they would want to find out if this is an enforceable. Did they consult with you guys at all on these things?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
And they may not have passed yesterday. Like I said, I didn't watch the meeting.
Well, and while they do put sheriff's office and or code enforcement, their intent may have been that code enforcement will will do
be the primary,
and they work for them. So that, that may be why they would do that. But no, I'm not aware of this.
Okay, last one, and this is it's a sad note, but it's also I think kind of a tribute to your agency. Most law enforcement agencies, certainly in this area, every year do a memorial service, and you guys did this last Wednesday. Is that right?
Yeah, last Wednesday was actually the day of the law enforcement appreciation and memorial day. And we had our event on that day. It was very well attended. We appreciate the community coming out. The other elected officials came out to help us pay tribute and to honor those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Mm-hmm. They gave their lives for our community. And I think it's altogether fitting that we continue to mention their names, to mention what they've done for us. And we have this this granite wall, and we have their names etched on it. We actually have two canines that were killed by gunshot wounds in line of duty as well, which is kind of rare, fortunately.
Yeah.
But yes, we pay tribute to the deputies and to the two canines that had been killed during the 200 plus years in the Escambia County Sheriff's Office.
I think that it's for a military town, but also for a town that cares about law enforcement and wants to continue to honor them. It's all part of our culture of trying to understand and also showing that you matter and that we appreciate the work.
Yeah, oh, they care about service. Yeah,
absolutely. There was one last, just a quick one. There was a story about how Hellcats are being stolen more frequently. The souped up Chargers. It is a Charger, I believe. Anyway, Charger Hellcats. Have we had that?
Right?
A Challenger? See, yeah. I can never keep them straight, so I apologize. But the Hellcats are the souped up ones. Have you guys had that happen here in the county at all?
We've had two reported in our area. I don't know that it's a trend or anything.
Sure.
I mean, we oftentimes have similar cars that are stolen. There, you can look at the, the statistics, and there are some, I don't know, Dodges or Toyotas. They're the most stolen cars, but we have had, which is kind of odd. We have had two Dodge Challenger Hellcats stolen in the last couple of months. So I don't know what they're doing with them. The last one was stolen was bright orange. I know the owner of that particular car. And I've seen that car around, so I if it's around, we'll see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the chase may be a little challenging for us, but I can tell you, maybe we'll have to.
A little challenging, really? A little challenging?
What?
A little hellish? All right, fine. My one thought is it maybe, like, they get proficient at something and it's easier to steal a kind of car they know how to steal, do you think?
We're looking to see if there's rumor has it there are some ways that they can
like a hack
get in,
kind of thing.
Hack into the car and then change some things around in there and drive it away. So we're looking into that, but that may be something that may or may not be taking place here.
Okay.
We do know that they're nationwide. There are people that can clone some keys and do different mm-hmm. things, and we're looking mm-hmm. to see if that's a way that they may have done this. May have come to town to specifically look for those cars, and then they're wandering throughout the country doing the same thing.
Gotcha. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for what you do leading the organization, keeping us safe, and spending some time with us this morning. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
As always, 5:52 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And, if you're like me, you put off buying that next car too long, frankly, because, I take pride in driving a car a long time. I mean, I took a Honda Accord to 330,000 miles, but what happens is that eventually you start to pay more in repairs than it's worth, and you probably would save money even by even if you had a payment, but even if you bought in cash, it's probably just saving you money, generally speaking. So if you're in that place, if you're fighting with yourself over whether it's time, listen, you deserve a car that you're not embarrassed about, you enjoy, that you actually like getting into in the morning, because you're going to spend a fair amount of time in that car. You ought to be able to enjoy it a little bit. That's Frontier Motors, a place where you don't buy brand new cars. You buy cars that are a year, two, maybe 3 years young, low miles, great condition, good prices. And, they take such good care of people that they want to come back again and again. I mean, that's their goal, is they don't want to sell you one car. They want to sell you all the cars you buy for the rest of your life. And they got me and my wife because, why would we go anywhere else? They were fantastic. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, The Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KelleyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Join Tim Ireland from Forrest Jordan and Associates, the Generator Guys, tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tim will be sharing his expertise on home generators and what's involved in getting one for your home. Information on why you would need one, system costs, and what a home generator can do for your home and how they work. He'll also answer questions.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's. The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of the community and is always focusing on the importance of public health awareness and preparedness. For more information on resources to improve the health of your community, contact your local Escambia County Health Department online at escambiahealth.com or follow Escambia Health Department on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Healthy Escambia.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right, let me get this straight, okay? You want me to go to the graveyard with you because I'm the chosen one and there are vampires?
Yes.
Does Elvis talk to you?
Six News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, thousands of Iranians now mourning the death of their president, Ebrahim Raisi, who died in a helicopter crash on Sunday. They packed the streets of Tehran yesterday as the country's supreme leader led funeral prayers. The Department of Education says it's forgiving $5.7 billion in student loans for about 160,000 borrowers. That relief includes $5 billion for people pursuing public service loan forgiveness and $2 billion for students in income-driven repayment plans. And Louisiana now on its way to criminalizing the possession of two abortion-inducing drugs. Their House has approved a bill adding mifepristone and mesoprostol to the state's list of controlled substances. If that's approved, Louisiana would become the first state to criminalize those medications.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 557 here on News Radio Pensacola. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, trying to decide if now is the time or if you should wait or if you already missed your window. I mean, I don't know. It's possible. You know, you might. The truth might be, man, should have done it a month ago. Or the truth might be, no, now. Or, no, let's wait a month. And it can depend on where you live, where's the property located, what's the price range you're looking at. Because, you know, we tend to think about the real estate market as a thing, but it's really a whole bunch of different things. You know, the market at $700,000 in Gulf Breeze might be very different from the market at $400,000 in Gulf Breeze or at $1.5 million in Gulf Breeze. I mean, you know, they're all different and different from Cantonment, different from Pace, different from Navarre, and that's the point. All of those things matter in the decision about when's the right time to buy or to sell. And Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty can kind of explain all of that to you and walk through it with you, along with a thousand other things that it's not your job to understand. It's their job to understand. Literally, that's what they're there to help you with. That's why you get a good realtor. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. The Fat Leonard process. The multiple members of the American military who were under charges related to corruption and the selling of things, and you know, taking bribes basically for this Fat Leonard case, Navy related, of course. Dismissals have now been, or the cases have all been dismissed, or at least five of them have been dismissed due to problems in the prosecutorial process. Not that they were innocent, not that they didn't do it, but that there were errors in the prosecutorial process that means that a judge decided that he doesn't believe that they can follow through and manage to get convictions on the people that were connected to this whole thing that took place about, gosh, what, 10 years ago, I think this all really began.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.